So anyway, that's my little tip. Throw a blazer on it, and you're good to go, even with jeans.
In a world where you only have trailers and posters to judge a movie, Jim and Ted strike out to answer the age-old question, will you see it?
Ted!
Jimmy!
It's Friday, and here you are! Happy Friday.
Happy Friday to you too, my friend. And happy Ides of March. Ides of March was yesterday, and I hear that's a special day.
Well, yesterday, yeah, my birthday was yesterday. Yeah, beware. Yeah, you know, I had a friend text me, and she said, you don't know a friend Brutus, do you? I said, well, that is Clarissa's nickname, so should I sleep with one eye open?
Always, right?
Yeah. So, yeah, having a birthday on the Ides of March, I've heard that my entire life, so I am well versed in Roman mythology and all the rest. But how have you been?
Good. I liked a tweet for you. It was a bottle of Caesar salad dressing with a knife stuck in it in its back.
Oh man. terrible. But yeah, so anyway, so hey, what's on the agenda for tonight?
So we have a couple of big movies. We have Fantastic Beasts, The Crimes of Grindelwald, and of course we're going to do Avengers
Infinity War.
Singular, not wars. Infinity War.
Right.
And then a crazy movie that I saw, it just got sold at South by Southwest. It's called Sorry to Bother You.
Hilarious.
A comedy that is written by Bootsy.
Before we get going into it, so I saw that and I'm thinking Bootsy, and I'm Bootsy Collins, Bootsy. But it's totally exactly. Not Bootsy Collins.
I watched a couple of music videos of Boots Riley, and I was like, oh, okay, now I get it. I get it.
Yeah.
Got it now.
You know, as tempted as I am to get into that one right off the rip, you know, I mean, that's just, God, I just want to talk about that one so bad, but let's get to Fantastic Beasts first.
Yeah, before we do that, I just wanted to let you know, like, we've talked about my fashion before. I like to dress down a little more at work now, not dress up so much.
Wait, your fashion? You're talking about your fashion being blue velvet tuxedo with the ruffles?
The tuxedo, yes.
For when we're doing podcasts? Is that the fashion you're talking about, or are you talking about other fashion?
That is the fashion I'm talking about. So in honor of Avengers today, the Avengers trailer coming out today, I wore my Black Panther t-shirt. I don't know if you've seen it. I don't know if I've worn it around you before, but it's the Black Panther's t-shirt that's similar to the 1968 Olympics in Mexico City.
Oh,
where
yeah.
The guys were doing the salute.
They hold up the black fist like on the stand while they're getting the gold medal. The track stars you're talking about?
Yes, exactly. So this one has Black Panther on it, and he won. And he has Captain America and Iron Man looking up at him. So
nice.
I thought it was apropos for Avengers Day today. But I can wear that to work, and then I just throw like a blazer or like a suit jacket on top of it, and it just dresses it up.
You can dress up anything, Ted. I know how, I know your look. You can dress up anything.
So anyway, that's my little tip. Throw a blazer on it, and you're good to go, even with jeans.
So, but here's my question, though. I mean, I get the one, it's like a political statement, but then you throw in the Avengers and then it becomes more like superhero, modern pop culture.
Right.
But the question that I have is, why is it that people at work would even question, because you work in the film industry anyway?
Oh, yeah. No, it's fine. When you throw a blazer on it, it gives you a little more air of authority and gives you a little more power, you know?
Yeah.
When you're walking in a meeting and you have a jacket on.
No, totally get it. I mean, I work in education, so it's like when I dress that way, people say, Jim, you look like one of the kids. I throw on a blazer. It's like, whoa, yeah, you certainly are more professional looking today. All right. So Fantastic Beasts, The Crimes of Grindelwald.
Yes. So are you a fan of Harry Potter?
You know, it's a tough one. Read the books, love the books, watched the movies, enjoyed a lot of the movies, but there's things about the books and the movies and the stories that I don't care for. I'm not going to talk books here. You know, the books are cool and everything, but I'm going to talk the movies and, you know, I'm going to skip the trailers even for that. But the movies, the only argument I have against the stories is the modern day flair. When they're driving cars and flying cars and having buses and trains and all the stuff in the modern day. Mm-hmm. I never got into that side of it. I completely get into the castle, the magic, the, I don't even know what you do, what you'd call it, the fantasy, I guess. Like I completely get into that side of it. And if I could have a Harry Potter type of a world minus modern day London, bring it all day long. I don't like the modern day London, and it's always been a sticking point for me with these kind of movies.
How about the first Fantastic Beasts that's like a period piece London? It's still like a real world London that has modern cars, and even if it's, you know, 40 years old or 50 years old.
Yeah, I know what you're saying. I mean, when I well, I guess the thing about when you look at the Fantastic Beasts movies or well, sub, what would you call it, like subgenre? Sub,
are we talking about in relation to Harry Potter? Or
in relation to Harry Potter, yeah.
Yeah, so this follows really the same legacy of Star Wars, where you have the original trilogy, and then you have this prequel trilogy.
Because this
is
prequel. And
then sequel trilogy. So this is a prequel, and we don't know if it's a trilogy or not, but it's similar to a prequel trilogy.
Right,
and of course, there were more than three movies for the first, for the Harry Potter's part of it, but Harry Potter's life is told in that first one. And now we're telling the story of Newt, I guess, but now we're bringing in...
Well, Dumbledore.
Dumbledore, yeah. And, you know, really exploring Dumbledore's life and youth.
So bringing in the Harry Potter franchise, the thing when you look at it is you have, it's like there's two sides to it. You know, you have the modern side, as I mentioned, mm-hmm. your modern day London, and you have the castle and the magic and everything that's gone on with the school that has been kind of the same for centuries. And Fantastic Beasts is very similar in that they have that same type of feel of the magic that's been going on for centuries, but maybe it brings in, instead of a modern day, it brings in like what was going around in the turn of the 20th century or something around the late 1800s or something like that. Mm-hmm. What I would prefer, personal preference, I mean, and I'm sure there's a lot of fans out there that love it the way it is, and or maybe they would agree with me, but what I would prefer is if it had a more medieval time of the 1400s, you know, kind of like Black Plague era, and that is where this story, or not this story, but all of these stories took place.
But then you'd have a hard time to link it back to the story that everybody loves with Harry Potter.
Because he's, right? The kid you can relate to, you mean? Or what do you mean by that?
Well, I mean, I think you like Dumbledore in the original Harry Potter as the older, wiser dean, you know, running Hogwarts.
Well, he still could be. I mean, it could be like it's 1500 and Dumbledore was a young man at 1440 or something. I mean, you could still do that story.
But do you mean that you want the original Harry Potter stuff back then as well?
Yeah, of course. And that's what I'm getting at is I think the entire franchise, to include Fantastic Beasts and everything, like I just don't like it in the, and this is just my personal opinion. Yeah. Well, who else's opinion? It's my opinion, you know. But what I'm saying is I don't think modern day cars and houses and all the stuff that we have is where the story lies. Like, to me, that stuff kind of gets in the way.
Oh, that's exactly what I was going to say. Yeah.
Yeah. And I'd like to see it 500 years ago. So all that kind of medieval Renaissance, you know, whatever kind of flair, mm-hmm. that's the kind of stuff I think that would add more to the story. You could still have the uncle. You can still have him under the stairs. You can still have all of the stuff you have in Harry Potter. But you just put it 500 years ago and you get rid of just the modern day stuff that just, in my opinion, just gets in the way of the story.
So you had Game of Thrones.
A Harry Potter Game of Thrones, man. That, oh, my God. Like, you just... No, you know what? I didn't even think of it in those terms, but that's exactly what I'm talking about.
I'm going to give you my three-word review early on this one.
Oh, no. Here we go.
Game of Wands.
Game of Wands. I love it. I love it. But anyway, you know, the point I'm getting at is, and I don't want to belabor it too much that we've already done, but but yeah, you're right, though. That Game of Thrones stage with a Harry Potter story, I think, would be exactly what I'm looking for. And just getting rid of, like, the crazy bus driving down the road, picking up people with the ghosts
the
and all.
The train, you know, going through the wall and all that stuff.
Right, right, right. You know, and just alter the story slightly. But anyway, that's where I'm at with that. So, but what's your first impression, though, of this trailer?
I like the trailer a lot. I've seen all the movies, like you said, big into the franchise. I did not read the books.
Whoa, you got to read the books, man.
I know. And read all the books and loved all the movies. The first one, I was definitely along for the ride, but then the rest of them, we made it a point to see them opening day. I think she was a school teacher for most of the early stuff. So we would go earlier in the day on Friday to make sure there were no spoilers from the kids that
saw
it the night before or something. But then the first Fantastic Beasts came out, and I was kind of excited to see that. But we saw that in the theater opening weekend, and it really kind of it felt a little too early. That movie itself felt like it was telling a story, and it wasn't getting to the point. You know, it was like too much of the preamble to the story that they wanted to tell. And sometimes, you know, when you know that you're going to end up doing a trilogy, you know you're going to have a first part, and that's going to be that part, and you have a second part and a third part or something like that. It really kind of left a bad taste in my mouth, and I will admit that I fell asleep a little bit here and there. So I didn't catch all of the movie, but I got the gist of it. I was turned off by the first movie, and then I heard this one was coming out, and I wasn't getting ready to have to go see it.
Well, but there's a lot of fans.
Yeah, the trailer actually reinvigorated it for me. I definitely wasn't excited about seeing it, was excited about the movie coming out. Now I'm excited about seeing it again.
Well, you know, and the funny thing is, so being the layperson that I am compared to the industry gentleman as yourself, the funny thing is, I totally get what you said now about Ralph Breaks the Internet and how the title should be written, because this is Fantastic Beasts, : The Crimes of Grindelwald. Yep. Where the other one was Ralph Breaks the Internet,
:
like Wreck-It Ralph 3 or 2. You know, like it was backwards. I wanted to give kudos to you to say, yeah, you're right. Like, I totally see what you're saying now, because at the time I was like, I don't know what Ted's talking about. Yeah. You know, because it's like now that I become sensitized to it, I see it. And you're right.
Yay.
It does make sense to put the primary part of the franchise in front and then have the follow-up of whatever this episode or this edition is.
Yeah, it's like title and then chapter. You know what I mean? It's like the overarching franchise and then this part of it, you know? Well, you're welcome. So you can no longer enjoy things like a layperson.
Ignorance is no longer blissful, for sure. But the second thing I wanted to say, though, too, is this is a teaser trailer.
Yeah.
And it seems as lately we've been talking about, well, let me back up a little bit. We've been doing a number of teaser trailers.
Yes.
And so many of these teaser trailers don't feel like teasers, but feel like full trailers.
I'm almost to the point of giving up.
Yeah, like, what's the difference? It's just a trailer at some point.
Yeah.
But yeah, I mean, overall, though, when we start getting into the trailer itself, I love how the camera comes over the hill and you see the elongation of, well, it's not a river, but it's more like an inlet.
Yeah.
Of like a, it's like a sound that brings in an inlet of water.
like a fjord.
A fjord or something, exactly, as if you're in Norway. But you see the castle to the right of the screen, kind of in the center. It's kind of hard to see when you're first looking, and that kind of anchors you because you know the castle and you're very familiar with the castle and you're anchored in the castle and you've been there before. You've been there a number of times, yet that outlet of water, let's say, not even the inlet, but let's say the outlet is leading you somewhere else. And it's completely hazy and foggy, and which kind of might imply the unknown. And it says, you know, here we are, we're going to be at the place you're familiar with, yet this body of water is leading off into the abyss, and that you are not familiar with. That was pretty cool intro.
I loved it. It was just a classic trailer. You know, great lead in, like you said, you're
like an establishing shot,
bringing you into the world, establishing where you are, establishing that. Hopefully I'm not jumping the gun or stealing a part of your thing, but the Avengers music and this music are so similar that they actually, if you listen to them back to back, the notes of it are very, they follow the same pattern of just the tension that it tries to impart.
And, you know, it's funny you said that because both movies I looked up and I'm like, who is the composer for both of these? You know, thinking like, was John Williams involved? You know?
Yeah.
I think the Fantastic Beast movies have such an awesome presence, you know, on screen with their color. I mean, they're majestic, you know, the way they present on screen, it's just eye candy.
Yeah.
I mean, there's no way around it. It's just eye candy.
It's beautifully done.
You know, we looked at the establishing scenes throughout the movie. You know, you kind of have the big establishing, the middle kind of scenes of where you're in the room, and then you get to the very detailed shots where Newt's trying to grab that little, like, what was that? What is that thing? That little green thing?
Pre-Groot. It's like a Groot.
Yeah.
Or is that getting into Avengers again?
The one thing I had, though, did you notice how Jude Law, when they said to him, they said, oh, you know, and I'm completely paraphrasing because I'm going off complete memory. They said to Jude Law, you know, who's playing the young Dumbledore, mm-hmm. It's like 40 seconds into it, I think. He says his lines like really oddly, you know, like as if he didn't have them memorized when he was talking about Newt and how, like, uh-huh. have you ever taught him? Like, you can't teach this kid. But the way he said it was really like, and maybe it's just the English dialect or something that he has, but he said it in such a way that was like really choppy and it didn't sound like he had it memorized properly, and people were feeding him his line until he finally just said it, and they just said, like, you know, screw it, we're going with it, like, we're done, you know, we've tried this too many times, we don't care, you know. But yeah, it just wasn't fluent. You know the scene I'm talking about?
No, I know exactly what you're talking about.
Yeah.
It's the end of the cold open, so there hasn't been a single title card. It's done all of right. The, you know, there's a lot going on, and we're already almost halfway through the whole thing, and everything stops. All the music stops, all the sound design stops, so we can hang on every word that's coming out of Jude Law Dumbledore's mouth. And the first half of what he says is awkward, and it's like you said, like he's searching for words.
Yeah.
And then the second half is about Newt. And I think, to me, if this movie focuses more on Jude Law and Jude Law's interaction with Newt, then I think that's where I'm getting more excited about this. I guess I like Redmayne, but I guess I don't like Newt. I don't like the character of Newt, and I don't like the way he grew up in the first movie, the way he, you know, his arc of his character in the first movie.
Okay, so, you know, you're talking about the legacy cards and all the various things that are coming up, and how he was talking oddly to get to that point, you know, as we were saying. I mean, are the legacy statements just a matter of course? Because who doesn't know the franchise and who's writing this and what the movie is and the feel of the movie and the look of the movie and all the things that are there? I mean, do you really need to say it's by J.K. Rowling and all this stuff?
Yeah, I don't. I mean, I guess so. I guess you have to. I mean, they hold. I mean, I don't think I've ever seen it held this long to almost the midpoint of the trailer to show it to you, you know. And I think so. These two titles, Fantastic Beasts and Avengers. I don't know. We've been talking before about how a lot of times for a lot of the other trailers we reviewed, they do like the 5 second roll at the top. And they do like a trailer for the trailer, the mini trailer at the the first 5 seconds of the trailers that we're watching on YouTube.
Yeah, sure.
These guys are so, they're so sure that they're going to get tens of millions of hits on this music, on this trailer, that they don't do that. They'll play your classic trailer archetypes of, you know, establishing shots, sweeping in and you know, holding back on telling you about it. But in the end, part of the reason we do this is that there is a commerce piece of business that has to go on between the audience of a trailer and the viewer. So if they were just doing this as a piece of art, and if it was a standalone piece of art, then you wouldn't need the cards and you wouldn't need to say, you know, Wizarding World, and you wouldn't need to say Warner Brothers. But because you are selling the movie, that's part and parcel to what you're saying.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, like, it's as if somebody woke up from a 100-year slumber and they're like, what movie is this? I mean, who doesn't know the Harry Potter franchise?
Yeah.
The people who are going to go see this, I mean, man, if I was a betting man, I'd say 95% of them are already into this franchise or at least know about the franchise. 5% are like, you know, I don't know about it, but I've heard of Harry Potter. And maybe the legacy cards are for that 5%, but I mean, like, really, do you need to say anything? I mean, I don't know. I guess you do.
Yeah. I think there's a group of kids that's aging into this space, and maybe they were too young when the Harry Potter movies came out, but they're okay, getting older now, so they can see this. So you always have to think as if nobody saw it, any of the other piece, and this is the standalone piece, and then this is going to bring you into the world, and now you can go, and not only will you be able to see this in November.
So it's their introduction. 16th,
yeah, it's their introduction to the world. And then while you're waiting for this in November on HBO, you can see all the Harry Potter movies, you know?
The only thing, too, looking at the trailer as far as, you know, I asked the question about teaser trailers. The only thing I think that leads this into a teaser trailer is that the whole trailer, well, I shouldn't say the whole trailer, but a good portion of the trailer is, you know, like, hey, you know, if you look here, look at the wonderful scenes we have for you and come and see what we have. You know, they show the kids swimming in bubbles. They show, you know, a lot of scenes that are just, they're like, the scenes are well crafted, but they're not telling a story with them. It's just showing you how cool the movie looks, like the guy swimming underwater with that underwater dragon and so on.
Right. So it's like a tease.
Exactly. Yeah, it is. It's a very long teaser trailer that doesn't tell you a lot, but says, look at all this cool stuff we have.
No, it's
I think
amazing.
My final thought is, you know, about Fantastic Beasts, it's kind of the same old story that you see in Harry Potter. You know, the good guy has to stop the bad guy, and he's the hero called upon. You know, Ted, it must be you and only you to go save this, you know, whatever. But now, you know, I mean, I think that's a little bit kind of drawn out and old. It is what it is. That's just kind of how movies work. But generally speaking, yeah, I mean, I'm into the franchise. I mean, I've read the books and I've seen all the movies. And I mean, why not? Sure, I'll definitely see it. Yeah, how about you?
I will definitely see it. Hopefully we'll see it opening weekend. And there you go.
I don't think I'll do that. Yeah, I mean, you know, because I showed Clarissa and she's into it. So she's a more... she's a hugest. I don't even know how to even say it, but like she's a much she's a more huge fan. She's a, yeah, she's a ginormous Harry Potter she's a more ginormous fan than I am, because really she's what got me into Harry Potter in the first place, you know. And then once I got into it, yeah, I got into it too, so I gotta admit I'm a nerd. But yeah, no, it looks cool. It looks cool.
But speaking of nerds,
shall we move on?
Let's do it.
Oh, God. Here we go.
Your favorite.
Oh, my least favorite genre. Or is it my favorite genre? The really bad, highly rated movie genre.
So today is Friday, as people know. We record on Fridays. Yeah. And today, the Avengers Infinity War official trailer came out. And as of the time of this recording, it has 17 million hits, watches on YouTube, and that's just for the official one, because obviously, you know, all the other YouTube channels got it too, and they have a lot of views. Within 6 hours, it had 7 million, and so now, I don't know how many hours it's been up, but less than a day, 17 million, and it's already broken all kinds of records with Fandango for ticket sales, for pre-ticket sales.
So what you're saying is, there are a lot of people who disagree with me. I mean, you know,
I wonder how many of the 17.7 million people are hate watching.
Are hate watching. Yeah, they're all hate watching, right? Yeah. I hate watched it. Not, you know, I mean, I'm not saying, you know, whatever. But this is just the type of movie I'm just totally not into. You know, let me rant for a minute here.
Please go.
The first thing is, you have the Infinity Crystals, but they're only taking care of half of the universe. I mean, if you're going infinity, go the entire way. Make it infinity. And then the other thing is, I mean, I'm calling this peak explosion. It's like, I mean, I just feel like it's for those people who are addicted to their video game ADHD. I can't leave, but yet I'm like, I can't focus for more than 30 seconds on somebody with dialogue. I need to see explosions. And then it's kind of like movies like this, and believe me, I'm just stereotyping, but this is how I feel about this movie too, because I've seen movies like this. The plot is non-existent. There's a threat to the world. People try to save it. Explosion ensues. The hero and heroine finally meet together. And as they view the wreckage of the world, the credits roll. I mean, like, these movies just drive me bonkers.
So this is the 18th movie.
Oh, the franchise is enormous. In the Marvel Cinematic Universe.
Since the first Iron Man, when Iron Man launched, I don't know how many years ago, but yeah, 18 movies, and AMC's doing a thing where I think two days before the release of this, this is out on, what is this?
I think it comes out April 27th. April 27th. Yeah, April 27th.
It comes out on April 27th. So on April 25th, AMC is going to play all 18 movies in a row.
Wow.
So you could stay up and watch all 18 movies leading into a screening of Avengers Infinity War.
Do you have to pay for each movie individually? No, I'm serious. I mean,
I don't know how AMC does it, but
wow. I don't know.
Maybe we should.
There's got to be a package deal or something.
Interview somebody in line.
But the thing is, I remember when the first Iron Man came out, and I thought, well, Iron Man's cool, you know, and I watched it and stuff. And then, like, they started moving forward, and they started getting more and more and more. And it was kind of like every movie would pile on from the most, you know, from, like, Captain America and stuff. Next thing you know, like, Iron Man and Captain America and the Hulk, and like everybody started piling on, and it was just becoming way too much. And it got to the point where I'm just like, my God, I can't keep up. Then they throw in Loki and they throw in, and I'm thinking to myself, what the heck is the story? Right. Like the world gets destroyed. again. And I'm thinking, like, from the last one to this one, apparently they don't run in sequence because it wasn't the world completely destroyed. How on earth did they rebuild it so quickly to destroy it again, you know?
Yeah, it wasn't completely destroyed. But there was, so they're not exactly in chronological order.
Right.
And Anne's so much better at this than I am. She will pick apart. This week we watched Civil War. Well, we watched Black Panther a couple weeks ago, right? And then we watched Civil War this week again. No, we watched Thor Ragnarok last weekend. We watched Civil War again. And then we watched Spider-Man Homecoming. And Civil War and Spider-Man Homecoming are supposed to be parallel. And Spider-Man Homecoming is supposed to be slightly after that. And there's a lot of, you know, loose ends that aren't tied up and kind of messy in between the two of those things, two of those films. But I don't know. I like, basically for me, the villain is what drives all of these Marvel stories. Yeah. And I think the difference between Marvel and DC is the class of villain that they have for it. DC has more of your old school 1950s World War II simple bad guy villain.
Oh, yeah.
And these villains, especially to me, Civil War, Spider-Man Homecoming, and Black Panther, to me, the villains in those three movies, if you take the villain out of the context of the space, they all have good ideas. And not, you know, the execution obviously is wrong when they're trying to kill the Avengers to right the wrongs of their life. But, you know, from Killmonger wanting to share the Wakandan technology with the world to Vulture talking about himself as collateral, picking up all these collateral tech from the fallout from Avengers fighting.
Right.
And all these crazy things that happen. And then Civil War has people that were hurt in the collateral damage from buildings that fall and, you know, all of the civilians that die in and around these epic battles that you're talking about. So I like the idea that those three or four movies have taken it upon themselves to not have such a clear, defined line of what's good and bad in a thing. Now, this one goes back to a space where it's going straight out of the comic books, taking a beloved villain from the comic book with Thanos, putting it into this story. So I don't know. I think, to me, the idea with this one is that they have to kill either one or two main characters here. And I think Captain America and Iron Man, one or both of them is going to have to check their card on this to make this movie worth anything.
Question one. Anne is into these kind of movies?
Oh, yeah.
Wow. Incredible. Wow. I had no idea. Okay.
Yeah, she likes the Incredibles, too.
Yeah. No, I had no idea. Question two. It's Infinity War. Once this war is over, what on earth could they... Okay, you said 18. It's Infinity War. It's like, you can't get bigger than the Infinity. Like, how do you ever go to a 19th? It's over after this. Am I right, or...
No, there's more stories to be told, my friend.
I guess so. There always is, isn't there? The other side of it, though, is, as I've said in the past, you know, American culture is our greatest export. I mean, you know, it's like, how many times can we watch the world explode? And then you wonder why, like, we have this, people have this view that everything is awful and bad. Democracy sucks. The world sucks. Society sucks. So let's blow the whole thing apart and just start over, because we know what we have is the most god-awful thing known to man. So whatever we create after that is apparently going to be better. So let's just blow it all up and start over. You know, and that's kind of what I feel this implies. And, you know, I really, I don't know. I just can't get into these kind of movies. I mean, which is shocking that your wife is into these kind of movies, because she's way more like masculine than me, I suppose. I have no idea. Oh, or she's a bigger teenager than I am. I mean, I don't know. I can't get into them, you know?
Yeah, I don't know how to help you with that.
Yeah. I mean, I feel like, you know, screenwriters go down to Hollywood Boulevard to the vending machine, like pop in some quarters and boom, out pops a script and, you know, off they go and make a movie. I mean, I don't know. I just can't get into them.
Are you a fan of the Pirates of the Caribbean movies?
Eh. You know, the original one, the first one, you know, I enjoyed.
Yeah.
Once they got into the squid face dude and stuff, like, it lost me. No, I'm not really a fan. Like, there are times, like, when Johnny Depp is talking, you know, he's on the island and it's like, you know, oh, but why the rum? And they're making the bonfire, you know, and but why the rum? You know, like, there's lines that are hilarious. But yeah. I can't get into those movies either, you know?
I'm just trying to get a baseline for your best movies.
You know, my best movies, I think a baseline is you know, that's a good question. Because, like, let's take Star Wars, for example. You take Star Wars minus, like, fart jokes, I'm all about it. Once you throw in fart jokes, you know, like, you lost me. I like good dialogue. I like... not too fast, not too slow.
How about Pulp Fiction?
Oh, Pulp Fiction's incredible. Like, yeah, I like that kind of a story, you know, where, like, you got to follow along and it might have a twist.
It's well woven. The story is woven together nicely.
Yeah.
The dialogue is pitch perfect per character.
Yeah.
The women are written well. The men are written well. Everybody's written well.
Reservoir Dogs, another one, you know.
There you go. Exactly. Yeah.
As if you didn't know, Tarantino, I'm a huge fan of. However, there's a movie here and there of Tarantino that I'm just like, they're just too violent for me.
So Inglourious Basterds is mine. Like, I can't stomach Inglourious Basterds.
Oh, see, I like that one.
And then I bet you can't handle Django.
I don't like that one.
I love Django. Like I'll watch Django all day long.
You know, let's figure, you know, the one thing you can never get back in life is time. Mm-hmm. So I figure if I can watch Infinity War 4X, maybe 8X, I'll save myself a ton of time. I'll get the gist.
So you're going to watch it fast forward.
Totally. Yeah. I'll watch it 8X, right? I get the gist. I know what's going on. I got the story, you know, like the Avengers win, the world blows up. I mean, like, whatever. I'm just not into these movies, man. I'm sorry. You know, let the flame war begin.
All right. Well, sorry to bother you with.
Hey, Ted, Avengers. You don't have to bother me with Infinity War, but let's get to Sorry to Bother You.
Hey, Jimmy, before we get started on that, let's take a break.
All right, Ted. See you in a minute.
Coming up on Trailer Junkies Podcast.
See, again, you're going from 40 cents, where you started off at the beginning, to $100 million. There's no person that I know that could turn down $100 million.
If you are enjoying our trailer reviews, or even if you are hating them, let us know. We love feedback. We're on Twitter, Facebook, and Instagram. Our email is info@trailerjunkiespodcast.com. And you can also comment on the episodes at trailerjunkiespodcast.com. Now let's get back to it.
All right, and we're back.
Well done.
Yeah, this comes out in the summer.
This comes out very soon. So it, like I said, it debuted at South by Southwest, and it got sold like last week, I would think, to this Anna Purina. Annapurna picture, sorry, not a dog food. And it's just, it's an amazing throwback of a comedy I was tweeting about it, and I think I called it like a cross between Friday and Being John Malkovich with an Old Spice ad mixed into it.
Brilliant. Brilliant.
So he has, at the top of this trailer, there's that mini thing that we were talking about before where they do the first 5 seconds show you clips of what we're going to see, as in, as if it's a trailer for the trailer. But I feel like they had a little more creativity thrown into it, because it's as if somebody's changing the channel.
Yeah, yeah,
so
yeah.
It's as if our lead character, Cash Green is his name.
I know.
he's changing the channels on a TV set, and we see some of the clips from later on with Army Hammer and a whole bunch of riot gear and everything. So I don't know. What are your thoughts other than the comedy that will ensue?
Oh man. Well, the first thing I thought is, you know, like, WTF, what am I looking at here? You know, I mean, crazy hilarious. That's my overall. Initially, you know, you're watching it and you don't know what you're getting into the first time you see it. And
right.
Like, I don't know, first 30-ish seconds, something like that. What you're thinking is like, oh, wow, this is like Colors from 1988, you know, Dennis Hopper directed. And you're thinking, and you're like, whoa, this guy's gangland. You know, it starts off serious. And then they have that little like funny scene where they're getting it on in the bedroom, and all of a sudden the door opens up, you know, and you know, I thought you fixed it, you didn't fix it, blah, 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 ha, 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 all the funniness. But, you know, but what neighborhood is that busy with people walking all over the place? I don't know a neighborhood like that. I mean, there probably is one. But then it kind of pulls you back in. You know, you're looking at it, and it's kind of that black ghetto, again, getting back into that Colors. You know, you're thinking like, you're not really, you're still not sure, right? It's kind of funny, but it's still like super serious. Right after, you know, that initial intro of the comedy, it kind of goes back into the gangland and everything, and you're still not really clear of which way it's going. Until right. Lakeith Stanfield is like preaching to the dude up in the window about like
Terry Crews, yep.
Yeah, you know, about like the rich people, and then all of a sudden, you know, Terry Crews, who so happens to be his uncle, or playing his uncle, I should say, family, I'm your uncle, you know, or your MF and uncle, you know, whatever. And then it kind of leads, you know, like I said, it has that roller coaster. The up is that slow climb of gangland, Colors, that whole, you know, like, man, this is going to be some serious crime drama, gang cop movie.
Yeah.
And then it kind of slides down a little bit. You laugh. And it has the scene, you know, with his girlfriend, the garage door opens, and then it kind of goes back up again where you're like, whoa, we're back into drama where he's like cussing out the guy who's looking for his money. And then after that, man, it's downhill. No, you know, no holds barred.
The brakes are off. It's all balls to the wall comedy.
And the rest is nothing to do with the beginning.
So you think the first 45 seconds are kind of a mismatch with the last?
Completely. 45. I mean, I think the misdirection is brilliant because it sets up the guy as, I don't know, like, I don't want to say a loser, but just not in touch.
Oh, totally loser. Yeah, I think it's okay to say a loser.
When he says, give me 40 on two. And it's like, and he throws down 40 cents. Awesome, I mean, that's right? Like hilarious.
That's one of my favorite standalone jokes in the whole thing where he does that. And he's, but the, to me, it's like, it's such a beautifully filmed piece of comedy where he says 40 on two. And then they just cut to the change hitting the tray. And immediately you know, you could calculate in your head. That's 40
right,
cents.
Yeah. He throws it down, and immediately you're tallying up what the change is. Like, oh my God, it's 40 cents. That's freaking hilarious, you know? Like, 49.2. But that's the whole point is, it starts off gangland. There's a little bit of comedy. It goes back to, like, thug. Gangland, comedy, thug, comedy the rest of the way. That's how it goes.
Yeah.
If the movie is anything like the trailer, I mean, it's going to be, like, enormously funny.
Oh, it feels like it's going to be. I mean, the movies that I grew up loving and watching, like I said, the Being John Malkovich, which is funny, but in this cerebral way.
Right.
The David O. Russell movies, I don't know, I Heart Huckabees and Three Kings.
Oh, Three Kings,
all
yeah.
All of those
yeah.
movies had this, yeah, they had this comedy to them, but the comedy was just woven into this beautiful story of life. And to me, this trailer shows you that it's going to get into the real deal. And even though the whole rest of that piece is comedy, when Armie Hammer comes in and he's giving him, you know, sliding a piece of paper, $100 million.
I offer you $100 million. You know, you're like, and even that, you look at it, you're like, wait, how many zeros?
See, again, you're going from 40 cents where you started off at the beginning to $100 million. There's no person that I know that could turn down $100 million. And yet, at the end, there's a beautiful scene where she's like, his girlfriend's like, I can't roll with you.
Right, you know? Right, right.
And it's so funny because they're in bed together, and they even like change out the sheets while they're
in bed together.
While they're in the same bed. You know what I mean? The sheets are changing literally while they're just laying there without them even like being conscious of it. But in the end, even when he's rich, he's lost his moral footing. She can't deal with that. So she's leaving him even at the height of his success.
It, you know, it made me laugh throughout. I mean, it was funny.
And how about the voices?
Oh, voiceovers. Mean, yeah, the voiceovers, I think, flips the stereotype of when, you know, because you, how many times do you hear people say, like, they can guess, like, a black voice or something, right? So it's kind of like they're
yeah.
saying, yeah, you know, like, black people have a distinct voice. It kind of goes back to Get Out, right? So you have, like, you know, the yeah. white people driving the black bodies or whatever. So now you're looking
yes, exactly.
at like white people recognizing black voices and they won't buy from black people or something. You know, it's kind of the implication.
Right.
So it's like, no, use your white voice. And then the white voice has this voiceover that's like over the top. it's
hilarious to me. It's like Boots Riley, the director, writer of this movie, I want to know how that he went to, you know, these are top name actors, comedy actors, David Cross, Patton Oswalt, Steve Buscemi, right? And to go to them and say, all right, I want you in my next movie, except I just want you to do voices for it. And they're like, oh, it's animation.
Yeah.
I'm just going to go at a booth and I'll do it to some animation. No, you're going to be dubbing over Danny Glover. How do you explain that to Steve Buscemi? It's like, he's like, what? I don't understand. I'm going to be dubbing Danny Glover sounds great.
Yeah,
what
yeah,
are you
yeah.
talking about?
And like, yeah, and Danny Glover's like a great actor in his own right. So why would he need dubbing,
right.
you know? And
exactly.
No, I mean, let's put it this way. Like, I mean, how do you go with all of these awesome high profile actors and like you barely get out of South by Southwest? How does that happen? You know, I mean, how do you not get the front running right off the rip? You know?
Yeah.
Yeah.
No, it's amazing.
It seems pretty good. I mean, In my opinion, we've saved the best for last.
We did.
However, by rule, I do not see these kind of movies in the theater. You know, because The problem that I always have, anytime I've gone to see a comedy in the theater, you know, believe you me, I love watching comedies. I mean, they're hilarious. You know, three heads in a duffel bag or whatever it is, you know. But you go to the theater and, like, theater's packed. People are rambunctious. Everybody's laughing. You know, people are having a good time. And you wind up missing way too much of the movie. You know, when you're at home, if you miss something because you're laughing, you could just be like, dude, I'm laughing so hard. I'm going to pause this. I'm going to rewind it. I'm going to go back. I'm going to watch it again so I can really digest it and be like, oh, my God, that was even more funny the second time. Let's drive on. Whereas in the theater, man, like, you just miss too much with these kind of movies, you know, because you're laughing and everyone else is laughing. And then you're paying attention to the guy next to you who's being like, then he becomes a jerk.
But there's something to be said about the communal ambiance
of like, yeah. No, yeah. I gotcha.
You watch it with Clarissa though, so you get both of you guys laughing and it's funny.
Oh,
like,
yeah,
that,
I watch it with Clarissa. Even, you know, friends, like, even if you guys are like, let's say we're down in the valley and all of a sudden, you know, it's like, hey, a movie just came out in Redbox, come over and watch it with us. Like, oh yeah, no, that'd be perfect, like, you know, four of us watching or something. But like me and my 500 of, or you know, 1,000 of my closest friends, I don't think so. But Boot Riley, I don't know who that is. Or Boots Riley, whatever. I don't know who that is. Never heard of him.
Boots Riley. Yeah, he was. He's a rapper, and I guess an auteur.
A comedic auteur. So
his directorial debut. Yeah, no, it's amazing.
This is like the Joaquin Phoenix Inherent Vice. You know, never saw it, want to see it, plan to see it. And, you know, it's one of these kind of movies that, like, it just, it's so cleverly well done. How can you not see it and laugh? I mean, you know, there's there's movies out there, like, you know, we were talking over about the Oscar movies and stuff, Dunkirk and you know, Shape of Water and all these, like, amazing movies that have come out. Best picture movies, best trailer movies, you know? And I would prefer to see something like this before that for no other reason than it's almost like I'm more entertained. You know what I mean? Like, it's just the entertainment factor is higher, even though that movie is like artistically a better movie. But this is what's going to keep me, like, laughing and doing just the whole energized. Totally.
Yeah. I'm ashamed to say that I haven't seen Atlanta. Cause I think, when I was talking about this movie, everyone's saying Lakeith Stanfield is great in the Glover, Donald Glover Atlanta series. So I'm going to check that out on FX.
I haven't seen it either. And so maybe something to check out. So the perils of having having 3 and 5 year old boys is we struggle to get past things. And we're just finishing season 2 of The Expanse, which we talked about like months ago, probably at this point. I'll probably be checking that one out next because, yeah, I was looking at that too. You know, as you do your research to see what people have been in and, you know, where they are on, you know, on IMDb and what they've done in the past. And then you're like, whoa, that's a current show they're in, you know, and I better check that out too, you know, whatever it is. But yeah. No, I mean, it looks great. You know, I got nothing else to say.
That's awesome.
You didn't give a 3-word review for Avengers.
I didn't. Back to Avengers. The 3-word review for Avengers is Death of Iron Man.
Wait, so that's your review or that's what you're speculating?
I just need a little leeway this week with 3-word reviews. So yes, that's a 3-word review that's more of a prediction than 3-word review.
Okay.
Because I was either gonna think it's either Captain America or Iron Man.
Okay. So you know, whatever. I'll give it to you. You know, like a prediction review, sure. But how about Sorry to Bother You?
The 3-word review for Sorry to Bother You is ABC.
Always be
closing. because he always has to close that door, the garage door. So he's closing the garage door, but it's also a hint that it's the new Glengarry Glen Ross for this generation.
Okay, yeah, I got it. Either way, man, it looks hilarious, and looking forward to it. Yeah, I got nothing more, you know, except what does he say? What's the opening card? Have a cola, bitch. Oh, have a cola and smile, bitch. Yeah.
Did you notice that Glenn is not dead?
Oh, yeah. I did see that. I showed Clarissa. I said, hey, check out this trailer. And she goes, he looks familiar, you know? And I'm like, yeah, it's Glenn. And she's like, Glenn who? And I said, Walking Dead. She goes, oh, my God.
He's not dead, and he's spinning signs for a living.
Yeah. Well, and I like how he's spinning the signs, and you could totally tell it's not him spinning the signs, you know? Like, whatever. But, you know, I think we're having way too much fun over this movie. We better tone it down a bit.
Well, another great week. I have spring break this week, so we'll see you again next week, but we'll have some adventures in between now
and
then.
Yeah, no, I had a good time, and, you know, 2.5 good movies. But yeah, you know, another fun week, whatever. I mean, I enjoy reviewing all of them because I only got to spend 2 minutes, you know, so. All right, Ted, I think we covered everything more than well enough this week, as usual.
We are done for tonight. Have a good night, Jimmy.
All right, Ted, you too, man. We'll talk to you later.
Next week, join Jim and Ted as they disarm another Hollywood bomb or marketing masterpiece. Remember, the holy trinity of podcasting. Subscribe, like, share.
Special thanks to Jeremy Kent Jackson for the voiceover and Rahelio for the music.